This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. Today marks the halfway point of this legislative session, and members of the Democratic Party in both chambers are once again pushing their Republican counterparts to give them more details about their plans to balance the 2018 budget. Lawmakers don't typically present that budget until nearly the end of each session, so they have time to consider bills that have a fiscal impact. Still, they are working on those plans to close a $497 million budget gap. House Speaker Tim Armstead and Senate President Mitch Carmichael joined Ashton Mara on the legislature today to discuss the progress.
Now, you've both talked about cutting the size of government and that being a goal as a way to avoid tax increases. But does it come to a point where we realize that those services, the essential services of state government, can no longer be provided, and then we use that as leverage to get members to see that it's time to do some kind of increase?
Government does provide some vital services. There's no question. We absolutely have to protect the public infrastructure, the public education, public safety, and provide a social safety net for those at the lower socioeconomic end of the scale. But we cannot continue to expand government. I think that the whole discussion about whether or not we've cut too much, really, we're not cutting government. We are essentially holding the line on the spending from last year. The governor comes in and proposes an exponentially higher amount of spending. And then it's construed to us to be cutting that. And we're not cutting. We're holding the line on last year's expenditure levels, doing everything we can to continue to provide the vital services that the people of West Virginia need without taxing and overburdening with taxation what is the poorest people in the nation from a state's perspective. We have the lowest per capita income in the nation, and this governor wants to shake $300 million more out of the people's pockets in West Virginia to expand government. We're just trying to hold the line on the current year, last year's expenditures.
Well, when you talk about holding the line, though, I think that you assume that the need has not grown. Is that the case?
Well, certainly the needs continue to grow. All needs continue to grow as we accommodate the wants and the desires of the people. But at some point, we have to say what is a necessary service and what is a desired or a wished for or I would like to have kind of service. And that's the role of the legislature here, is to balance those requirements because every dollar we spend for these programs and services is taken from a taxpayer in West Virginia. And so we need to view that with a fidelity of protecting that the taxpayer's money.
Mr. Speaker, I don't think it comes as any surprise to you to know that there are quite a few factions of ideologies in the House within your own party that you have to work with and reach out to. In the case where it would become necessary, it would become necessary for the legislature to do some kind of tax increase, whether it's small or large, like what the governor would like to see. Do you have to have the Democrats in order to pass a budget in your chamber?
Well, let me say this. I don't think it is at that point where it is necessary. So, when it comes to making tough decisions, unfortunately, in my time here, people talk about tough decisions when it comes to, we made the tough decision to raise taxes. That's not what I think a tough decision is in this case. I think the tough decision is deciding what we can and can't afford to do. And so I believe that we will come together and work toward a budget that we think is a responsible way to use the taxpayers' money. And I hope to be able to do that in a bipartisan manner. I think we will be able to, but I believe that there's the will within the Republican caucus to get this done, and I don't think that there will be any factions that would stand in the way of doing that. I mean, certainly everyone has their own opinions on how we do that, and we respect those opinions, and we've been bringing those opinions to the table. Let's be clear, when people talk about where's your budget, I've been here almost 20 years, and we have never had a budget before day 60 in the time that I've been here, never. And here we are, we're not even at day 30, and everyone's saying, where's the budget? We have a framework for that, but we have to work together, both with the Republicans, Democrats, the House and the Senate, and with the governor, to get the right spending package together. And we're very far along on that, and I think we will bring out to the voters of the people of our state something that they can get behind as well as the legislature get behind.
Gentlemen, we have to discuss the Senate's plan to reform the state's tax code, to essentially get rid of or phase out the personal income tax and replace that with an 8% consumption tax. Current sales tax is at 6%. This would increase that rate and also broaden it to some services and things that are essentially exempt from the sales tax at this point. You know, that bill, the fiscal note, came out late last week. Mm-hmm. $610 million deficit for the state if that should be implemented the way that it's written today. And actually, Mr. Speaker, I want to start with you because the bill is in the Senate. It hasn't mm-hmm. even come out of its initial committee. But when you hear that number, what's your reaction?
Well, obviously, I think the Senate has really taken on something that needs to be taken on, which is a discussion of where our tax structure should be in the future. There are different approaches to that, and I think that neither the House nor the Senate would take an approach that would cause any greater deficit. And so we are we're still very much interested in looking at overall tax reform. As you mentioned, there are different views on how we balance the budget. There are different views on how we go about restructuring our tax processes. And I think that's important that we engage in this discussion. We need to not just solve this budget process this year. We need to solve the issues that got us in this situation and brought these challenges on. And one of those is the tax structure that we currently have in place. So I do think for the long-term economic growth of our state, for the long-term budgetary health of our state, we do need to look at how we have this tax structure.
Mr. President, I want to ask you about that bill because Senator Robert Carnes from Upshur County, he's the lead sponsor. He's also chairing that tax reform mm-hmm. committee. And when that number came out, he said, you know, we expected something like this, and now we'll adjust. And the adjustment he's talking about making is tiering the repeal of the personal income tax and linking it to the general revenue fund or the rainy day fund, how much money the state is bringing in. But all of that takes time. Mm-hmm. It takes time to restructure a bill. It takes time to study the fiscal impact for the state. We're at 30 days tomorrow. Is there enough time to make those necessary changes?
Yes, there is enough time, and it's important work, and we'll work day and night to ensure that that bill comes forth in a manner that accommodates the revenue needs of West Virginia. We've just spent the last few minutes here talking about our budget crisis in West Virginia, and it's largely precipitated by the manner in which we currently tax our citizens. And as the speaker's alluded to, we have to change this. And for us to say, we're running out of time, or this is a heavy load, or it's a lot of work, we absolutely embrace that. We want to put forth and make the changes necessary to get the revenue estimate correct with the Department of Revenue and put forth a plan that fundamentally changes the manner in which West Virginia procures the revenue from its citizens. And Ashton, what we're doing now is not working. We've put together this select committee, and I've appointed Senator Carnes to be the chair of that, and he is diligently working. That is his sole task, is to bring forth that proposal. And I really do anticipate that we will have a bill through the Senate. And if it doesn't go through the entire process, this is worthy of the effort. And there are many bills that we work on that at the end of the day don't make it across the finish line. But there's nothing more important than we're working on than this bill right now.
That was Senate President Mitch Carmichael and House Speaker Tim Armstead speaking with Ashton Mara on the legislature today. An extended version of that interview is available on our website, wvpublic.org. You can catch the legislature today, weeknights at 6:30 on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. This is West Virginia Morning. It's 7:53. Partly sunny skies today, temperatures in the 60s and 70s. Enjoy it, though. Things are going to change drastically. A chance of rain or snow tonight with lows in the 30s. A chance of snow or rain with gusty winds on Friday. Temperatures remaining in the 30s and low 40s. Partly cloudy and windy Friday night with lows in the teens and 20s. Partly cloudy on Saturday with highs in the 30s.
Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting is provided by Outback Concerts, presenting an evening with the Avett Brothers on March 12th at the Charleston Municipal Auditorium. Find out more at charlestonwvciviccenter.com. And by the West Virginia Land Trust, protecting special places, water quality, and recreational opportunities 1 acre at a time. More at wvlandtrust.org.
A group of people in and around Huntington are joining together to try to make solar power a reality in their homes. Clark Davis has more.
It's a solar co-op. A group of residents from the Huntington community and the surrounding areas are using the power of a group to purchase solar panels. It's not the first solar co-op in the state. Previous co-ops have been formed in Morgantown, Willing, and Charleston, and solar co-ops are coming together in Beckley, Lewisburg, and the Mid-Ohio Valley region of the state.
I moved to a total electric home, so hot water, furnace, everything electric. So part of it was to bring down the price of my energy. And then I'm really interested in environmental issues and sustainability. And so I wanted to do my part, I guess.
That's Cheryl Brown. She's one of the members of the Morgantown co-op that got its panels in late 2015. The co-op there was set up by the nonprofit West Virginia Sun. They say their mission is to fight for the energy rights of people in the state and set up the co-ops throughout the state. Altogether, they've helped organize 13 different solar co-ops in West Virginia. Autumn Long is the solar co-op coordinator for West Virginia Sun.
Our co-ops work on model of bulk purchase, so we're able to pool our buying power as a group, and then it also benefits the installer because they get a number of jobs in the same location in the same time frame, so they're able to buy in larger bulk, and they can pass that savings on to the customers.
The process begins after 20 to 30 people sign up to join the co-op and qualify, meaning they have a westward-facing roof with enough space to handle solar panels. A purchasing committee group from the co-op will issue a request for proposals from area installers. Co-op members review the bids and choose a single installer to service all the homes in the group. Then, each individual member of the co-op will get an estimate from the installer on what it would cost for his or her home. Jim Coatson joined the Morgantown co-op. He says it was something he wanted to do for a while, and then the co-op came along and helped him afford the panels. He has a 2,800-square-foot house with a 5-kilowatt system, which worked out to 20 solar panels on his roof. He paid just under $15,000, which, as Long says, is about the average for homes in the state. After tax credits and other incentives, he thinks he'll have his money back in 10 to 12 years. In Coatson's case, the system is set up to provide all the power his home needs.
We have a net metering arrangement with the local utility so that in summer when we're generating more than we need, it banks credits and we use those up during the winter. We still do have to pay a $5 per month annual connection fee to stay connected to the grid, but on average that pretty much is the main electric bill that we have left.
Sharon Slater, who lives in Culloden in eastern Cabell County, hears those numbers and gets excited about the prospects for helping her wallet and the environment. Slater's ultimate goal is to rely on solar panels alone for her energy needs.
But being in my late 60s, I'm really interested in being able to stay in my all-electric home where I have no access to natural gas.
Autumn Long of West Virginia Sun says many of the participants in each co-op have wanted to go with solar for a while, but are afraid of starting the process on their own. Long says of the few dozen in each co-op, only a limited number end up with solar panels. The price can be prohibitive, and in some situations, the home may not be able to ultimately accommodate the panels. Long says she hopes this is just the beginning of solar in the Huntington community.
We really want to see solar take root in the Huntington area, and as the ball gets rolling and people get more and more comfortable with this technology and seeing it on their neighbors' homes and their local schools and residences, it just becomes more and more mainstream and a fact of life. And so, you know, it really gains momentum.
The Huntington Co-op will meet again March 30th as the co-op continues to find more members. So far, 54 people have signed up in the Huntington area, but only 14 have been approved for the process based on the roof assessment. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Clark Davis in Huntington.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Beth Voorhees.